Green news for you.
Green news for you. Your environmental news source. Bring you the latest in environmental news.
With the weekly roundup.
A WPS production.
Hello, I'm your host Mel, and I want to welcome you to another edition of Green News for You. I believe there's a change taking place in our culture where people are becoming more aware of their surroundings and how what we do now affects our future. Not only our future, but future generations. People are beginning to examine themselves, and in examining themselves are bringing about an outward change which causes ripples in the fabric of our society. This can be seen in artwork, industry, communities, businesses, TV programs, and so much more. We even have a green channel, which was unheard of 20 years ago. When we talk green, it encompasses such a wide spectrum. On this episode of Green News for You, I want to take a look at ourselves and our surroundings. To do this, I have a very special guest who can bring insight into this areas. Her name is Trebi Johnson. She is a founder of Vision Quest and Radical Joy for Hard Times. She has written a book entitled The World is a Waiting Lover, Desire and the Quest for the Beloved. Her articles about people, emotional, and spiritual relationship with nature have appeared in Sierra, The Nation, Harper's, Spirituality, and Health, and other magazines. And she is a consulting editor and frequent contributor to Parabola. Among the awards she has received for her work are the John Mayfield Award and the Poetry Society of America, the Telly Award for Only One Earth, produced for the United Nations 20th Anniversary Celebration of Earth Day, a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to produce A Mountain Split in Two about the Navajo-Hopi land dispute, Gold, Silver, and Bronze Awards for the International Film and TV Festival for her work in multimedia, and a grant from the Pennsylvania Urban and Community Forest Program to plant 75 trees in her home village of Thompson, PA. She is a member of the Wilderness Guide Council and has served on the Stewardship Committee of the Florence Shelley Wetlands Preserve in Thompson for more than 20 years. Trebi, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks, Mel.
Tell me about how this all came about. Let's start out with Vision Arrow. Now, you founded that in 1997?
Yes. Well, Vision Arrow is basically the company that I use to do my vision quests and workshops and other retreats. And Radical Joy for Hard Times is a nonprofit organization whose mission is finding and making beauty in wounded places.
And with Radical Joy for Hard Times, that one, when I was looking on the webpage, I saw that you started it in 2009. Is that correct?
It is, yes. But it was a long, long search of many years trying to find out what this thing should be. Because I'd had this notion for a long time that we can't really be a sustainable culture until we remember how much the places that we love and the species we love mean to us. You know, that you can protest and preserve and conserve land, and you can tell people about how wasteful they're being and that they have to monitor their carbon footprint, but you can't really get people to connect with taking care of the earth that they live on until they remember that they love it and that they are very hurt and upset when something happens to these places they love. So Radical Joy for Hard Times came from a long search of trying to find a way to bring that into people's, bring it into people's consciousness.
So the vision or the vision behind Radical Joy for Hard Times would be to what's the vision behind Radical?
It's that all places on the earth are valued and recognized as part of the whole pattern of life on earth, and that all places mean something to people, and that when a place is clear cut, paved over, polluted, when species are destroyed, that matters to us. Mm-hmm. And yet by reconnecting with these places and species, we empower ourselves actually to change the way we live on the earth. And we also bring beauty and abundance to these places that have given so much beauty and abundance to us.
Right. Now, I found out that when bringing in new programs and stuff like that, like recycling or composting or something else, I find it's easier for people when they're brought up in that type of environment where you recycle, that you know later on in life they begin to recycle. But for people to introduce it to them, I found introducing recycling to them or one of those other programs, that it's a little more difficult for them to grasp, I guess, because they don't make a connection to it, or what does it affect? It's like a learning process in connecting with the recycling, and, you know, what does that change? Or composting, and what does that change? And I find that sometimes people need to become hands-on with that. And I think with your program, A Radical Joy for Hard Times, that it brings people in contact with their surroundings, where they can see the change that can take place from from seeing places that have been destroyed from deforestation, or even from oil refineries or something like that, where they can go and make a connection with those areas.
Yeah, because places matter to people, even if they're not wilderness lovers.
Right.
You can be a fisherman, you can be a hunter, you can be a person who drives through Yellowstone National Park in a snowmobile, which a lot of people who consider themselves environmentalists would think would be just the opposite of being a conscious, earth-loving person, a conscious ecologist. But people love the earth in all kinds of ways. And so by just bringing, and also in our culture, we have few enough ways for people to deal with the demise or the death or the disability of a human being. We have absolutely no way to deal with the assault on natural places.
Right.
So that's another thing that Radical Joy for Hard Times addresses. We're saying, yes, you feel bad when these things happen to these places, but you don't have to ignore them. You don't have to turn away from them. You can go to them and reconnect with them.
Right. I mean, because I know when a lot of places that get built up through, I'll take, for instance, down in Virginia where I grew up at. It used to be forest all down there, but now they built a huge mall. The one-lane road that used to take you down to Manassas is now a four-lane highway.
Oh, I know.
So, you know, I miss that, and it's a memory to me. Mm. And it's a memory that my kids don't have, on how the woods used to be. You used to be able to go out into the woods and go down to the creek, but now it's not there anymore. Just because of how everything's built up. So it's the memories I try to pass down to my kids, because I remember walking through those woods where that huge mall is at now.
Yeah.
Now, you have something called Global Earth Exchange that you do.
Mm-hmm.
When did that take place? Or tell me about how Global Earth Exchange came about.
Well, the Global Earth Exchange, we got the idea for that. Radical Joy for Hard Times, our board of directors and I, we got the idea for that when we were only a few months old in 2009, because we had gone through a process of asking ourselves, should we have trainings for going to these places? Is there a particular way that people ought to go? And we had created a set of very, very simple guidelines. And then we decided, let's just acknowledge that people all over the world are dealing with this problem. And let's say that on a certain day of the year, and we made it, the first year it was June 18th, and this year it was, I mean, the first year it was June 19th, this year it was June 18th, right around the summer solstice, to encourage groups all over the year to go to these wounded places and just be with them, tell the stories of what the place meant to them. Like, for example, you're talking about what that place meant with your, and, you know, what the places that used to be woods and fields and creeks now are just highways, and how you're telling those to your kids. And you might actually tell them about these places while you're there sitting on that highway exchange and actually being there.
Right.
And then we encourage people to spend time on the places and just getting to know it as it is now, and then to create an act of beauty. And the act of beauty is usually a simple representation of our symbol, the Radical Joy for Hard Times symbol, which is a bird.
Mm-hmm.
And the bird is flying into the chaos and singing. So people make this bird. And it really is it's very simple. Every community all over the world can do it a different way. We had a group in Tel Aviv this year who did a Global Earth Exchange in a hospital for
heart
transplant patients. We had farmers in Bali doing it on mountainous lands that have been deforested to make hothouse flowers, to grow hothouse flowers. We had people doing it at Superfund site in Oregon. at a place where there are endangered trees in Bolivia, all kinds of places. People can see a slideshow of some of these amazing events at the Radical Joy for Hard Times website, which is radicaljoyforhardtimes.org.
That's great.
So the idea was just to get people going to these places on one particular day, having a sense of solidarity and shared participation.
If somebody wanted to go about or take the steps to do a Global Earth Exchange, do you offer that type of support?
Yes. Well, the Global Earth Exchange only takes place once a year. So mm-hmm. The next one will be June 23rd.
Oh, okay.
But we sponsor and help people with individual Earth Exchanges in their communities.
Ah, okay.
So, and yes, we offer help with that. Tips. There's a handbook for how to do it. We make suggestions. People can, a member of our team can go out there and work with people if they require that.
Well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. That's really good to know. And you talked about groups of people all over the world that are doing this. Has this been going on before even Global Earth Exchange started?
Well, no, because the Global Earth Exchange started when Radical Joy for Hard Times was only about a year old.
Mm-hmm.
So a few individual Earth Exchanges had taken place, but what the Global Earth Exchange is all of these things happening on the same day.
Right. And when's the next event coming up for the Global Earth Exchange?
It's June 23rd of next year.
Now, you not only have these organizations, you also are an author and a publisher of poetry, and you wrote a book called The World is a Waiting Lover, which I saw on Amazon. And on Amazon, I saw the book had great reviews in it. Actually, everybody that reviewed it gave it 5 stars.
Talk about everybody, not everybody.
everybody I saw on there gave it 5 stars, and it was great reviews. What is the book about?
The book's about desire. It's about the whole arc of desire, which, of course, many people think that desire is bad and you should move away from it. But it's about desire as an erotic subject, as a search for the divine. It's about finding passion and desire for what you do in your life and how you live every moment. And it's based on a story of mine. It brings in a lot of world myths.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the archetype of the beloved, which is the inner force of desire and passion in people. And it's lots of other people's stories as well as my own.
Interesting. It sounds like a good book. I'd like to get my hands on it so I can read it sometime. So I'm going to have to go on Amazon and purchase it.
Yep, it's there.
Yep. Can you tell me more about Radical Joy for Hard Times?
Well, it's a different kind of paradigm. We're calling it now it's the future way of caring for the earth. Because as I said in the beginning, there's a lot of publicity now about the need to change the way we live on earth. But it's a lot about preserving what's still pristine in nature, or what's perceived as pristine. And it's also about cleaning up what's damaged.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really encourage people to go and reconnect with places that are in their communities that have been damaged. It's just kind of, and in fact, an environmentalist at a major organization and a very prominent organization in Washington said to me once, we tend to write places off after we've lost the fight for them. So after a place gets clear cut or mining starts there, it's sort of like it's considered a lost cause and it's forgotten. But for the people who live there, it's still important.
Right.
So were you going to say something?
Oh, no, I'm agreeing with you. I can totally agree with that.
And what people often say is when they've spent even just an hour or so at these places, and they've sat there and they've told their stories and they've walked around and sat on the land and seen what it is now, and told stories of what they've then observed as a result of that, and then made this act of beauty. The extraordinary thing is that people say that their attitude towards these places changes.
Mm.
That the places no longer look damaged to them. They no longer look sick. That the places themselves seem to have transformed as a result of this.
That's interesting. So they're making peace with that area that they had a connection to.
Exactly, yes. And hopefully that will inspire them to take further actions. because really the environmental movement is our allies of radical Jehovah Hard Times. They're doing incredibly important work. And we're saying, here's a way that people just remember how much places mean to them. And by remembering that in these very simple ways, they're encouraged, hopefully, to take a more proactive stance in living differently and using less and consuming less and just being more mindful of the way they walk on the earth.
All right, and I like that. I like that concept. I like what your organization is doing. How would somebody go about getting in contact with your organization?
Well, they can go to radicaljoyforhardtimes.org. Mm-hmm. It's a nonprofit 501c3 organization, so we are glad to accept contributions. There are T-shirts available. There's information about the organization. You and my other business, visionarrow.com, it's Vision and Arrow. That's about my own personal workshops, the workshops I lead and the wilderness retreats and mythic quests. And that's visionarrow.com. And then they can reach me at trebbejohnson@gmail.com. And my name's spelled T-R-E-B-B-E.
Great, great. And before we go, can you tell me what drives you to do what you do?
I love nature, and nature is alive for me, whether it's my own backyard or I just got back from leading a program in Morocco last week in the Atlas Mountains. So to me, the kinds of insights and wisdom that people gain through spending time in the natural world and simply opening themselves to seeing what's around them and at the same time noticing their own responses, it's just the most fascinating thing. And how we connect with the natural world and how the natural world can inform us, enlighten us, transform us is, I think it's just the most important relationship that there is in the world.
That's great. Trebby, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing Radical Joyful Hard Times with the listeners and myself. I find it totally amazing, the things that you do with Visionero and also with Radical Joy for Hard Times. I wish your organization much success in the future, and I know that there are people out there that that need this, and it's good that your organization brings this.
Well, hopefully they'll want it to, and hope maybe you yourself will do a Global Earth Exchange next June.
And I will be contacting you. I would like to see a global Earth exchange taking place. I know that it's something new to me, and I'm sure it's probably new to a lot of people that are listening. But I would like to see a global Earth exchange. I would like to see that connection being made. So I definitely will be giving you a call.
Good. And thanks for the work you're doing, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
This ends another episode of Green News for You. I want to thank Trebby for being on the show. I hope everyone listening will consider having their own Earth Exchange or sponsoring an Earth Exchange. If you enjoyed this episode of Green News for You, then please consider making a small donation or becoming a sponsor of Green News for You. Thanks, and have a great eco week.